She was a little ashamed of her courage and business capacity, but delighted that she was going to dine the next night with a KC who lived in South Kensington. She was pleased to be able to tell you that her son was at Cambridge, and it was with a little laugh that she spoke of the rush of dances to which her daughter, just out, was invited. I suppose I said a very stupid thing. "Is she going into your business?" I asked. "Oh, no. I wouldn't let her do that," Mrs. Strickland answered. "She's so pretty. I'm sure she'll marry well." "I should have thought it would be a help to you. Several people have suggested that she should go on the stage, but of course I couldn't consent to that. I know all the chief dramatists, and I could get her a part tomorrow, but I shouldn't like her to mix with all sorts of people." I was a little chilled by Mrs. Strickland's exclusiveness. "Do you ever hear of your husband?" "No, haven't heard a word. He may be dead, for all I know. I may run across him in Paris. Would you like me to let you know about him?" She hesitated a minute. "If he's in any real want, I'm prepared to help him a little. I'd send you a certain sum of money, and you could give it him gradually as he needed it." "That's very good of you," I said. But I knew it was not kindness that prompted the offer. It is not true that suffering ennobles the character. Happiness does that sometimes, but suffering, for the most part, makes men petty and vindictive.